And would you give him a praise that could attempt to match his greatness, Lord? We worship you with a great ovation today. We worship you with a great praise today. Oh, our attempts are futile, God, but we'll try to match your greatness today by offering you a praise, Lord. We worship you and honor you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're thankful for the presence of God that we feel. I mentioned a moment ago, all of our guests, we're so thankful that you're with us today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. You are among a people who believes that this God is great and that this great God deserves a response of praise. So if at any moment you hear someone shout hallelujah or lift their hand, or you may see someone jump or leap or run an aisle, who knows? We believe it's because of his greatness, and we worship him and we honor him today, and we invite you just to jump right in with us, because this great God is so wonderful and powerful and excellent and mighty, and he's deserving of our praise today. Oh, we worship you, God. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Again, we invite all of our guests just to make yourself at home today, because we feel like you are at home today. So feel free to worship with us, respond to the Word of God in whatever way that you feel. You can do that especially near the end of this service, when we invite everyone that is willing to come just around the front of this place for a time of prayer and response. And we do this because we believe that this Word and the preaching of the gospel is deserving of a response. And it calls for a response, whether that's faith or prayer, worship, repentance, or a change of heart. We believe it deserves a response, and this morning I believe will be no different as we turn together to the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Colossians 1 and 3, Paul is writing to the church of Colossae when he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." And that word gospel there is translated in that original text or that original language. It just means good news. Good news. We've got good news this morning. It's come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. The last verse is phrased this way in the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, "The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." I'm here to tell you this morning, whether you have never heard it before at all or you've heard it all your life, there is good news in the house today, and there is good news in this book that can and will change your life. There is a gospel, there's a truth, there's good news that will change everything. And this morning, I've just come to preach to you, if that's all right, I've just come to preach good news today. I've just come to preach good news and the truth that can and will change your life. And if you plan to receive it, I wonder if you just stretch your hands to heaven as a sign of surrender today. And would you make the determination in your heart and mind, "Lord, before the end of this service, this good news, I will let it change me. It is powerful. It is wonderful, God. It is life-altering. And today, I will allow this good news into my heart and my mind. And I believe and recognize that it will change me just like it did in that day. It will do the same today." In Jesus' name, if you're thankful for it, would you clap your hands together? Before you're seated, why don't you turn to someone and tell them, "We've got good news today." You may be seated. It is no secret this morning that our culture and our world is inundated with news from nearly every different angle and every different perspective. on a regular, weekly, daily, sometimes even a momentary basis, our smartphones, our internet browsers, tablets, radios, social media feeds, even our smart watches. They are peppered with news headlines, special reports, breaking news, and the latest political polls. And if we were brutally honest today, we were totally truthful this morning, I believe we could rightfully say that in the grand scheme of things, most news we hear is almost completely inconsequential. For the most part, it doesn't really have any real effect on our lives or our individual existence. Because of the steady stream of unending information, we often find ourselves lost in the current of bad, fake, or trivial news stories. For example, this is a real story. Why would an article entitled "Gigantic Animals That Should Not Exist But Do" affect me at all? Does an expose on an Easter bunny involved in a street fight really make an impact on my spirit or my mind or my perspective? Am I really changed in my heart when I read what Prince Charles really thinks of Meghan Markle? Come on. Believe it or not, these were all pulled from recent news websites this week. And truth be told, with the amount of news we're exposed to, it becomes easy to keep scrolling past article after article, each one having little to no real impact on today's callous culture and society. It's become easier just to block it all out, to become hardened by unrelenting news cycles, to become numb to any and all news around us. But this morning, I've come to share with you some news of my own. And I implore you to let this news into your senses and into your spirit. I've come to break the unrelenting broadcast of bad and trivial news to share with someone what the Word of God calls the good news. I've come to interrupt the ceaseless cycle of mind-numbing news in order to share with you some news that is sure to change your life, and it'll change your mind, and it'll change your circumstance, and it'll change where you currently stand. And unlike all the other news and noise out there, this news is not irrelevant. This news is not inconsequential. It is not trivial or fake, but it's as real as it gets, church. It's as powerful as it gets. It's as real as it comes. It's as meaningful and as significant as you can find. It is simply the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the message of God's redemption to all who are lost and broken today. It's the plan of salvation to whosoever will. It is simply Christ and Him crucified. A message that tells every last person in the room, whether you're a first-time guest or you've been here 50 years, Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus died for you. He gave His life for you. He made a way for you to be free from sin and bondage. He made a way for you to walk in relationship with Him, the Messiah, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Savior of the world. He came, He died, He rose again, and He is offering to you today life, and life more abundantly. He said it in His own words, Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And this one stuck me as I read it earlier this week. Heal the brokenhearted, because there's some individuals that have come in today and your heart is broken and your heart is shattered and there's pieces all around today. If we could see the condition of your heart, we would recognize its brokenness. But I've come with some good news today. I've come with some good news to let you know He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to mend the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Someone hear me this morning. No matter what news you walked into this building with, no matter the needs and the trials you carried with you, no matter the extent of sickness or brokenness you're harboring, the oppression you face, no matter what you are up against, I've got good news for you today. This news will change your life. I said it a moment ago, I know not all news will change us, but this will. That's why Paul said, from the day you first heard, from the day you first heard, the day one, and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace, you've been changed. It may not change me to hear the news that Punxsutawney Phil has seen a shadow. Some of you that hate winter, that changed your day. For better or worse, because I always get confused what that means. It may not change me to hear that a family of geese was saved on Interstate 70. Maybe I'm just an oddball, I don't know. But when I hear that all my sins can be washed away, when I hear that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and when I hear that I can trade a life of sin and bondage for eternal life and newness of life, I just can't help but get a little excited. And it changes my demeanor, and it changes my mindset, and it changes my heart. When I hear I can be healed of sickness and brokenness, and I don't have to live like that anymore, and I can have life, and I can be buried in baptism and have my sins washed away, I just can't scroll past that news, church. Oh, I get a little excited when I hear the good news of the gospel, that He came and died and rose again, and I can be changed. I cannot remain unmoved when I hear. That's why Paul said it. On the day you hear it, how many of you remember the day that your life was changed for the better? That you walked out of that baptismal tank or one like it, and you were different, and everything looked different, and you felt different, and you felt as light as a feather. You were changed by the good news. Are you thankful for it this morning? Would you just let them know? Or would you lift your hands and thank the Lord that there's good news today? I can be changed by it. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I like good news. I'm sick of bad news. We're not just inundated with trivial news or news that's inconsequential. The reality is bad news seems to rule the day. 253 people, as of yesterday, killed and dozens more wounded in Sri Lanka with the terrorist attacks. Political division and upheaval on a daily basis. Hatred, bigotry, social divide are commonplace. Even in our own city, the bad news piles on to ceaseless violence and current trafficking or constant trafficking of narcotics, families being torn apart, darkness and immorality are front page news. We're bombarded by it. We're overwhelmed by it. We are inundated by it. We're enshrouded by it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the hope we have, and we've been praying for this, and I believe it's already happening. The hope we have today that someday, very soon, that the news cycle is going to change in St. Louis. That the headlines are going to read differently. That the glory of God's going to be displayed here. That the lost are going to be found. That those who are broken, those who are destitute and sick can be healed. I'm believing for a change in the news. But until that day, I've come to tell someone, even though bad news seems to be on every side, I'm thankful bad news does not diminish. It does not devalue. It does not detract from the life-changing power of good news. Bad news is bad, but this good news isn't going anywhere. Bad news may get worse, but this will not change. And can I tell you, it couldn't get any better today. This good news couldn't get any better. It's the best news. Just because the rest of the world is preaching bad news on a daily basis, that will not stop the preaching of the good news. It's forever settled in heaven, church. Revelation 14. Calls it an everlasting gospel. Tells us that the good news is going to be around when all the bad news has ceased. We have got everlasting good news today. Come on. You need some good news? Just dive in. If you're overwhelmed by all the bad news, crack open this Bible and start reading. You won't have to read long before you come on to some good news today. We have got everlasting good news. At the end of the day, when the book is closed, time has run its course. It will not be bad news that shapes eternity. Instead, 1 Peter 1:25 tells us, the word of the Lord endures forever. What word? Now this is the word which by the gospel, the good news, was preached unto you. Bad news will come and go. Fake news will cause a momentary reaction. Trivial news may numb our hearts for a moment, but this good news will be here forever. It is forever settled in heaven. We've got good news today. I love sharing good news. It's fun to share good news. I'm getting ahead of myself. Just 2 weeks ago, I was with family out of town when we heard the news of the fire at Notre Dame. Notre Dame. Pick your pronunciation there. We pulled up the news feed. We could see the flames engulfing that great historic structure and saw the steeple collapse in the midst of those flames and that fire. And leaders and nations alike around the world recognized instantly this was bad news. What a great catastrophe had happened. But what was most remarkable, and some of you have probably seen this, was that when the dust had settled and the smoke had cleared, firefighters and news anchors around could not help but be enamored with what they saw there. Right in the middle of bad news. Kind of looks like a spotlight is right there on that cross. Right in the middle of all the bad news, the cross still stood. When it was all said and done, in the midst of nothing but bad news and devastating loss, the cross remained. When everything else around was lost and hope seemed to dwindle, the symbol of the cross stood through the test of fire and the test of turmoil. Hear me this morning. Some of you have walked into this building with nothing but bad news and brokenness. There are some who have stumbled in today with doctor's reports and diagnoses of doom, and there are others who have wandered in with wounded relationships and fractured families, and it looks like, could you go back to that other picture, Jason? It looks like your whole life is just going up in smoke. And you're looking around for answers. And you maybe you're a guest today and you just come in here and you're thinking, maybe I could get an answer today. And again, your life is looking something like this, but I encourage you just to look at the cross because it still stands today. It's as powerful as ever today. Your life may be fractured right now, but can I remind you that the cross still stands and the good news still works? Can I remind you today that He Himself bore our sins in His own body so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness by whose stripes we're healed? Can I remind you that He has made us alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses? All trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. It was contrary to you. And He nailed it to the cross. He's taking it out of the way. There's nothing between you and Him today. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can I remind you? If you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues or a different language, you can be filled with that wonderful gift today according to the Word of God. Can I remind you, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, that can happen today. The water's warm, the robes are ready. You can have a life change today. Can I remind you, preach to you this morning, that if you've never repented of your sins, which is basically just turning away from them and turning towards God, forsaking sin and walking towards Him, you can do that today. And Psalm 103 tells us, He will remove them from you as far as the east is from the west, which is a pretty far distance if you look it up. Can I remind you, there is good news today, and your life can be changed. This good news is for you. Every person here, you can be healed, you can be forgiven, you can be delivered and changed by the good news. And if you look back at our earlier text, you begin to see how. New Living Translation says this in verse 3 of Colossians 1. We always pray for you, give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Your love for all God's people. These come from your confident hope what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Paul tells the church of Colossae, he recognized and heard of their faith in Jesus Christ, which came after they heard the good news of the gospel. He emphasizes here one of the true hallmarks of really hearing and understanding the good news. Faith. Faith, which is a necessary ingredient for the change found in verse 6 of that chapter. Hearing is the first step, but it has to be followed by faith. This is exactly the premise of Romans 10:17. It tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to be changed by the good news today, how many of you want to be changed from your current situation? I believe it, and God sees that, and he sees your faith as well. If you want to be changed, you can't just hear it today. You have to believe it, and if you really believe it, you will obey it or act upon it. Let me illustrate this for you. Lorenzo, I have got a $10 bill in my pocket. If you will come up here right now, I will give it to you, and you can buy your lunch or whatever you want to do. Thank you. You may be seated. What a powerful illustration. Anyone else? Very simple, but that's the point. He heard some good news. It's a $10 bill. I can buy lunch. But he didn't just hear it. He believed it. He didn't see it. He had no idea if it was in my pocket or not. He believed it, but he didn't just believe it. He acted upon it. Now, we didn't plan this out. You can talk to him. We didn't prepare this morning. I didn't talk to him at 6 a.m. He had no idea that he was going to come up to this altar today and receive something that was free. And maybe like Lorenzo, you didn't plan on receiving something today at this altar. Maybe you never considered coming to the altar and acting on your faith in that manner today. But what if I told you this morning, at the end of the service, or right now, or whenever you feel faith and you want to act, you could come to the front of this building as a sign of your faith, and you could be healed, or you could be delivered, or you could be set free, or you could be forgiven of all your sins, and you can walk up here, receive something, and then walk out of those doors never again the same. What if I told you some good news this morning and you believed it, but you didn't just believe it. You decided, I've got to act on it. Oh, I don't know all about this. I haven't heard it all my life, but I believe that there's something to this good news. So I will act on it. You want to know why the 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 were saved and added to the church? You look at Acts 2 and 37. Bring that up, Brother Jason. It says, when they heard this, those men and those individuals, those women from all over, the gospel, they heard it. They were cut to the heart. They believed it. Enough for it to change their heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Our superintendent, Brother Bernard, explained it. If hearing was enough, Paul would have said, oh, you're good. You don't even have to be touched or stirred in your heart. You've heard it, you can go. If believing was enough, they would have said, what shall we do? And he said, you already believe. Go your way. You're fine. Instead, he holds an altar call, tells them to repent of their sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He recognized true faith is always accompanied by obedience and by works. It isn't works that saves you. It's your faith, but true faith is displayed with action and obedience. In other words, if you want to be changed by the good news, don't just hear it today and walk out of here, but we've got to believe it. And because of our faith, we have got to obey it. And I believe that's exactly what's going to happen this morning at this altar. As someone, you've been here and you've heard the word of God over and over. You heard, I can be healed. I can be delivered. I can be forgiven. And for whatever reason, up until this point, you've kind of taken a back seat and maybe stayed in your pews and you've watched everyone else. But in this moment, you're starting to believe what I'm saying today. And you're believing maybe there is something to this word of God. And maybe there's something to this good news. And nothing else has worked in my life. I tried it all. I've tried this and that and nothing has helped, so maybe, just maybe, I'll hear what he's saying and I'll get out of my seat, or I'll respond to the word of God and I'll give faith today and I'll be changed today. That's where you are. Let me encourage you. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who do nothing? No. Of those who diligently seek him. It's just that simple today. Hear the good news. Believe it. And obey it through your faith. And lastly, as your musicians come, if you want to take it a step further in obedience, don't just receive the good news for yourself. Follow the pattern of Scripture and do that by sharing it with someone else. Scattered throughout the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, this pattern holds true. Desperate people, people in need of a miracle, people in need of a change, people that want healing, people that want deliverance, people like you and I who had life circumstances and things they battled. Desperate people heard some good news, and they didn't just believe it, and they didn't just act on it and have their life changed, but they recognized this good news is so good, I've got to share it with someone else. Paul himself said, "For I am not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ." Why? For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. Share it. I got to witness this entire pattern this last week. My friend Anthony's here this morning and he let me share this, which I'm so thankful for. We're excited about what God's doing in your life, my friend. God's changing. Last week at Missouri Youth Convention, one of the young men from Peace Tabernacle, our sister church, met Anthony at Walmart. Spoke to him. They invited him to church that night. And they told him, if you will come to church tonight, we'll pray for you there and you'll be changed. That was the good news he was looking for. Maybe you don't have to share this entire Bible with someone. Just give them some good news. Just give them some kind of good news. Quote a scripture. Tell them about the Word of God. He didn't just hear it. He believed it. He didn't just believe it. He showed up. And out of 2,000 people, Anthony found us. Just so happens he knows Lorenzo. You think God doesn't care today? And he won't line it up for you or your family? I talked to Anthony this week. We're talking about the grace of God in his own humble manner and way. He asked me, he said, "Brad, do you really think God will accept me? You think he'll change me?" My friend, I don't know if I've ever been more excited to share good news with someone. I quoted him 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I told him, "Anthony, I've witnessed firsthand that God will accept you because I was there Friday night as he responded to the good news and he acted and he lifted his hands as we prayed and he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I'm telling you today, this good news works. Would you try it today? It works. It can change your life. It can change your family. It can change your circumstance if you believe it. Stand to your feet. And I wonder if you would not hesitate, but if you need something, anything from God, would you begin to come and flood this altar space right now? Would you join those who are needing a change? If you're a guest with us today and maybe you're unsure about coming down here, this is just a simple act of your faith that you believe that this good news can change you. And if you want to come, we invite you to come right now and lift your hands and lift your voices. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we want change, God. We want to be healed. We want to be set free. We want to be delivered, Lord. And we've heard good news today. And it's so good, God. I can't sit in my pew. I can't stay unmoved. I can't scroll by this news, Lord. I've got to have it. I've got to let it. change me. I got to leave here different. I got to leave here delivered. From the